see, Robert has a mild strain of the ACL. It's grade one. He's had some mild swelling. He had his right knee repaired, his ACL in 2009. That looks great. No problem there. We'll evaluate it day by day, see how he is on Wednesday. But talking to him today, he felt pretty good.
Sprain.
With a P.
So just follow up on that. I it sounds like you're not ruling him out for the Cleveland game.
I'm definitely not ruled out for the Cleveland game.
When you have a week like this where there's an uncertainty with Robert or Kirk, how different do you go about the week? Does Kirk have work with the same game plan, for example, as Robert does? Obviously, he has a different skill set to some degree.
And we try to adjust your offense, you know, to your personnel, regardless who's in the game. But, you know, both of them will have a game plan. And obviously, Robert can do some things in a running game that Kirk can't. And, you know, we'll put the best game plan we can together.
Mike, just to clarify, was there any structural damage to any of the other knee ligaments at all?
No.
No minor tears, no nothing?
No. In fact, you know, anytime you have a sprain in the knee, and the LCL is the outside ligament right here on this part of the knee.
Right here on this outside. There's different grades, 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
It's a grade 1, so that was a good sign. We did not know going into if it was grade 1, 2, or 3. So it's a grade 1. He's got some mild swelling. You're hoping with rehab. It gets better very quickly, but we don't know for sure. We'll have to go day by day and evaluate it day by day.
Is it fair to say that based on having watched the play again, I'm sure, and this is as well a report, as good a report as you could have expected or hoped?
Yeah, you never know. In fact, when Brandon Merriweather in pregame warm-ups had grade 2 and a grade 3. And so, you know, you just never know. He felt very good, felt like going back in the game. So you don't know until you have the MRI, and it was positive news.
Mike, you said ACL, sprain to the ACL?
LCL.
LCL, okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I thought you got that by my. No, LCL. If I did say ACL, I was.
Mike, in doctors tell you, would this decision just be made on his ability to sort of function and tolerate the pain this week, or are there considerations about worsening the injury going forward, or is that even in play?
We had, you know, Dr. Andrews on the sideline with us, and he's the one that gives me the information, so that's way over my head. I'm just telling you what he said, and we felt very good with the news.
I know every practice week is different for injured players, but is there a day this week where you need to see Robert out there in some capacity before you're able to say whether he's able to play against the Browns?
Well, I think you do that with all positions. If we're talking about London Fletcher or Trent Williams or Robert Griffin, you know, you're going to do what's in the best interest of the player, which is usually the best interest of the team. And so, you know, we'll take a look at him during the week and make a decision if he's able to go.
You said day by day, and we'll see on Wednesday. Do you actually expect him to be able to take the field on Wednesday?
I really don't know. I really don't know. As we report, he's got a grade 1 sprain. He's going to get treatment every day, so we'll see how he feels on Wednesday.
Hey, Coach, I guess he's going to be wearing a brace for the next few weeks, I'm guessing. Is there any other treatment? How is schedule going to go the next few days as far as treatment and rehab?
We'll have, you know, treatment a few times a day and obviously do what he can to hopefully get it well. But like all our other players, it doesn't matter if it's an ankle, a thigh, get as much treatment as we can and evaluate it each day, and hopefully he'll be ready to go.
Can you see him in a brace for the foreseeable future, the next couple of weeks?
It could be, probably.
Mike, do you feel like you've dodged a major bullet with this grade 1 sprain compared to how it looked, especially when he came off the second time?
Yeah, you never know, like I said. But when I looked at it on film, I thought it would be worse than it was. Yeah.
Mike, when he first came out for the third and six, which Kirk went in for, what did you need to hear from him or Larry or whoever to convince you that he was okay to go back in the first time?
Dr. Andrews on our sideline.
Okay, so even though they didn't bring him back to the table, they were able to at least make sure that he was structurally sound, I guess?
Dr. Andrews is pretty good.
Okay.
Not too many people have him on their sideline, so we felt pretty lucky that he was there.
Should you have to go with Kirk on Sunday in Cleveland, how much does the offense change? I mean, does he run all the option plays that Robert runs?
You'll have to go to the game. Have to see.
I'll be there.
That's a secret. Now, Kirk can do a lot. Obviously, we're going to do what we think gives us the best chance to win with the game plan.
Just to go back to your point on Dr. Andrews, just curious if you could take us through the sequence there. And he only missed the one play, and I know there was a stoppage in the game, so there wasn't a lot of time. Like, what exactly did you guys have to do to make sure he could go back out there in that time?
Hey, Dr. Andrews, can Robert go back in? Yeah, he can go back in. Robert, go back in. That was it.
But, there's not a lengthy amount of tests or anything that can be done, obviously.
I don't know. You know, he's on the sideline. Dr. Andrews got a chance to look at him, and he said, put him back in.
Mike, how much of a competitive advantage do you think it gives you this uncertainty about whether Robert will play on Sunday?
I'll be honest with you. If we're going to do what we think is in Robert's best interest, and usually when you do that, it's the team's best interest as well. We're not going to put him out there if we think, you know, he's not completely healthy and he can't do the things that help us win. So that's part of the evaluation during the week. Same thing with the London Fletcher. Same thing with the Trent Williams. You can't put guys out there that you don't think is the best interest of themselves as well as the football team. So you got to evaluate it, and you got to, you know, you don't know until the game.
But you've talked to us about obviously not disclosing some of this information because you want the other team to have to prepare for different scenarios.
I don't know who you're talking about. I've never said anything like that. You must have a different guy.
I must, huh?
Me? Not disclosing? Come on, you guys know me better than that.
I've been just not telling us if he's.
What I'm telling you is that if you check with people what a grade one means, that kind of gives you a good indication where he's at. If it was a grade two, I would tell you it was a grade two or a grade three. A grade one is a mild swelling. So we'll evaluate him during the week and see where he's at.
Well, let me ask a different way then. Because of Robert's skill set and Kirk's different skill set, if a team has to prepare for both of those quarterbacks, do you think it gives you guys an advantage?
Sure it does.
Mike, could you tell when Robert did go back in, how much could you see him compensating because of it, and just what are some of the things you saw in those few plays where he did go back in?
Well, after he threw that deep over the middle and a great throw, stood in the pocket, you could tell there was something wrong, and he started limping. Right at that time, I knew that was time to get him out.
It was a few weeks ago we were talking about his athleticism getting him in trouble with concussions. Mm-hmm. Now it's a knee. You know, is this just the product of having a mobile quarterback like this, and is there anything that can be done to on his part to protect himself?
Well, to me, it's, you know, you get a drive, the final drive in the fourth quarter, he's trying to make a play. And I'd say what Robert was trying to do is score a touchdown, what competitors would do. You know, it was like a playoff game to us because we knew he had to win. And Robert was going to do anything he could to get that first down. I think in normal circumstances, he probably would have slid or took off to the outside. But in that situation, he was trying to make a play and did whatever he could to make a play. And most quarterbacks, at least the quarterbacks we would want, would put themselves in that situation. Now, we want him to protect himself, and we go through that each week on how he can better protect himself so he can stay healthy. But you think of the mindset of a quarterback, hey, we got to get the ball in the end zone and do everything I can possibly do to help this football team win.
Mike, given everything you've got invested with Robert, how much, even if he's able to play, do you think to yourselves maybe you guys don't play him against the Browns?
I've answered that already. Yeah.
Mike, you sort of went through this once already after the concussion where there was some uncertainty for at least part of the week whether Robert could play or whether he would be going with Kirk. When you get into this situation, I think you talked about it a little bit, but do you develop two different game plans for these two guys, or are they because of their styles, or do you just go with one game plan and expect Kirk to execute the same game plan that Robert would?
We're going to put a game plan together that we think gives us the best chance to win with both quarterbacks. Obviously, Robert can do some things in the running game that most people can't do. And so that's that.
Mike, how often is Dr. Andrews on you all sidelines for games?
All the time, or at least most of the time.
When you drafted Robert, you obviously tailored an off-season program and a training camp around developing a rookie quarterback. Mm-hmm. How much of that has a residual effect on Kirk, the fact that he happened to be in a program that was around developing a rookie quarterback and therefore perhaps has Kirk in better position to step in and play perhaps than another rookie quarterback who might have been playing behind a veteran?
Well, one of the reasons why I've enjoyed, two rookie quarterbacks is they learn together. And they've got a chance to, study together. They get a chance to grow together, kind of bounce things off each other. And I think it's been a great relationship with both Robert and Kirk, just bouncing things off each other. They're both extremely smart. You could see on the sideline they were really pulling for each other. You could see Robert was the first person to congratulate Kirk after he threw that touchdown pass, and that's what you're hoping for, young guys growing together and guys supporting each other. And when one guy goes down, you're a play away from being the quarterback, and obviously Kirk came in and did a great job, and that's what you're hoping for.
Mike, as you watched Robert after he got hurt and he came to the sideline the first time and his will to get back in that game despite all the pain that he had, what did you learn about him in that situation for the first time?
Well, the main thing is to make sure he's okay. And there's a lot of guys that want to go back in, and that's why you have the doctors look at him, or Larry has, and we're lucky enough to have Dr. Andrews right there. I'm a little bit, I don't throw quarterbacks in as quick. Sometimes it could be it could be a head with a blow. Other times if it's a knee. Because those quarterbacks normally want to go back in and play. So after you get the clearance to put them back in, you're full speed ahead. But when that knee did lock and you could see he was limping, I had a good feeling that was it at that time.
Mike, Josh Morgan yesterday after the game called Kirk a mad scientist and said Ike Hilliard refers to him as a human computer. Mm-hmm. The Kirk Cousins that you get to see and Kyle gets to see behind the scenes, is that a pretty accurate description of how smart he is in terms of what you guys have asked him to do?
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have all three of our quarterbacks that are very bright, extremely smart, excellent workers. They do what they need to do, both on and off the football field. And if a guy goes down, they're going to be ready to go. And that's what Kirk did. He's prepared himself for each game. In any scenario, I'd have complete confidence that he'd go in and perform like he did. But until somebody does it when the pressure's on, you don't know for sure. I was really pleased with how he handled himself and, went through his reads and did what you expect.
Was there any – I know it's not this huge sample size, but could you see a difference from his time in the Atlanta game versus even the time in that drive yesterday, any sort of – tangible improvement that you saw or anything different that he was able to do?
Well, you watch a guy how he handles himself in preseason, and if you got yourself a quarterback, and you could see through preseason that this guy had earned the right to be the backup quarterback. And so being a backup quarterback, you get a chance to dress. You always know you're one play away from going into the game, and you got to prepare yourself that quarterback could go down in the first play, and you got to step in and get the job done. And he's done that each and every week.
Kind of like pinch hitting in baseball, is there somewhat of an art form to coming off the bench as a quarterback in spot duty like that?
Well, you get put under pressure right away because you don't get the reps during the week. You get very few reps with the first team. You're running the scout team the majority of the time, and you're expected to go in there and perform. So there's a lot of pressure on people. Some people can handle it. Other people can't. But when you prepare yourself like he has, it didn't surprise me that he was flawless in what he did. And that's what you expect, and that's what you're hoping for.
We know Robert is a competitor, so how has he been today? Has he already said to you, Coach, I'm playing? Or?
Yeah, they all say that. They all say that. They all say they're playing. And what we do is we evaluate it during the week and see if that's possible.
Mike, you talked a little bit yesterday about the decision to go away from Brandon to give Richard a chance, but getting to go back and watch a couple of those returns, I think 20, 16, 64. What did you see from him, and what did you think about a guy who hadn't been active in 5 weeks stepping up the way he did?
And you give people opportunities, you're never sure if they're going to take advantage of them. And, you know, Richard did a great job taking advantage of his opportunity. Not only caught the ball, he made great decisions, and he took it upfield when he had to. And, you know, you get 100 yards in returns, you know, that's pretty impressive. That's the difference in winning and losing.
Alfred hadn't really struggled with fumbles until the last 2 weeks. Are you concerned about that, and what do you think led to those two fumbles?
Well, to be honest with you, fumbles are going to occur. You got to practice it every day where the defense is trying to strip the ball from you. We haven't had as much contact with the Monday night game and obviously playing on Sunday, some short weeks. And so we'll get back to trying to strip the ball, put him in situations where he gets those good habits back. But he's a guy you really trust because, you know, it means a lot to him. And if you do get the ball, usually it's a pretty good hit or three or four guys standing a guy up and doing a great job of just pulling the ball out. But I got a lot of confidence in him.
Mike, with even if Robert plays with the concern about his knee, would it be in play to have all three quarterbacks active this week?
I'd say there's always a possibility of that happening.
Well, I got you. Any other injuries from the game other than Robert?
Nothing we'll talk about today.
Mike, going back to Richard Crawford for a second.
We'll say is Trent Williams is better than he was, and London Fletcher is better than he was. So that's a good sign.
Going back to Richard Crawford's overtime punt return, he credited the blocking in front of him for opening that big lane for him. And I'm just wondering, how do you differentiate between how much Richard made that play on his own versus how much the blocking created for him? In other words, like what type of unique skills does he bring to that particular situation that maybe Brandon did not? Or could not?
Well, I don't want to talk about Brandon because we're talking about Richard.
Okay.
But what Richard did is he took the ball as soon as he caught it upfield and made some people miss. So, if you can get 10 yards on a punt return, you're doing great. And that's what he was able to do, catch the ball and turn it upfield, get some positive yards. And when he was doing that, a couple punt returns, he's got some big yardage. And obviously the last one was the difference in the game.
Mike, a lot's been said about Kai Forbath and his 14 for 14. Lorenzo Alexander yesterday mentioned how good the protection has been compared to last year. What's been the difference, and I guess how impressed have you been by the protection being as solid as it's been this year?
Well, number one, you have to have great protection. If you're talking about field goals, you're talking about punt, and that's where it starts. And when one guy messes up, and as we proved last year, good things don't happen. So we've worked on it. Our guys are pretty solid. But it only takes one guy to mess up, and all of a sudden you're back to the drawing board. So hopefully you can keep it up.
You guys have allowed 10 points total in the second half the last 2 weeks, under 150 yards. How much of that do you think has been adjustments at halftime or just players making plays? And what are some of the themes among teams that can play better in the second half normally?
Well, what you're trying to do is put a complete game together, and that's what we do, each and every week. And sometimes if you have a poor first half or a poor second half, you got to play enough or play well enough to win, and that's what we're always trying to do. You'd always like to, as I just mentioned, play that perfect game. So there's always adjustments that go on, at halftime on both sides of the football. Sometimes they work, other times they don't, but you got to find a way to win, and that's what I was most pleased with our football team, that I thought everybody collectively, offense, defense, and special teams, added to the win.
Mike, it didn't necessarily work out that way with Brandon, but when you have these returners out there on the field, you got Niles yesterday playing less plays and Richard played one play on defense. How much is that on offense or defense designed around keeping these returners fresh for the responsibilities that they're going to have in special teams?
Well, you'd always like a fresh player on special teams. You'd like as many fresh players as you can because everybody's got a role on the team, and you may play anywhere from 2 plays to 20 plays to 75 plays, and when that guy's in there, you expect that guy to do their job. And a lot of times when you do have a guy that's fresh, it does give you a little bit of advantage, especially in the second half. Excuse me.
Mike, what did you think of Chris Cooley's game yesterday, and is he doing more to earn more playing time as he gets back into the program here?
Well, Chris played more plays in this last game. Helped us tremendously when he did play. And we'll see in time. But I got a lot of confidence, Chris, and Chris is playing his role extremely well. And that's what you got to have. You got to have everybody understanding their role. And when they do get their opportunity, they take advantage of it. And, you know, Chris is a solid veteran for us, knowing his role and giving it everything he's got.
How much did you feel like that ankle injury affected D'Angelo Hall, and how did he come out of it after?
I think he's fine. I still think it's a little bit sore, but he pushed through it.
Mike, you've been doing this an awful long time. You've heard a lot of diagnoses from a lot of doctors and trainers. When a trainer tells you or a doctor tells you grade one LCL sprain, more often than not, does that player return the next week?
I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I really don't. You know, they can say that to me. It doesn't mean a whole lot to me. I got to see what they can do in practice. And everybody reacts a little bit differently. And we get a chance to evaluate them during the week. And so we'll have to wait and see.
What are you going to be looking for most carefully?
If he can help us, if he can help us play, he can play at full speed. The guy can't play at full speed, and he's playing on one leg or 70%, there's a good chance he could further injure himself. We're not going to put him in that situation.
Mike, with tight ends have had some success against you guys this year. Is there a thread there that you see as to why that is, or is it just the position kind of evolving and just more freak athletes playing that position harder to cover?
It all depends what coverage you're using, what type of tight ends you're going against. You know, some tight ends are great blockers, others are great receivers. If you're playing one certain defense, it gives a tight end some opportunities to have some mismatches. It could be man coverage, it could be two deep zone, it could be blitzes. Offenses are very creative now how to use tight ends, especially with mismatches. Some of these guys are pretty tall, others are fast. So a lot of different things you can do.
Hey, Mike, yesterday Leonard Hankerson had those couple grabs in the middle where he didn't break his stride, didn't bobble it, looked the ball into his hands. From that regard, what did you think about the way he played yesterday? Is this probably
– I thought he had one of his better – I thought he played excellent. Had 25 plays and really looked good on all his plays. He didn't get the ball all the time, but he was open almost every time, and pretty impressed with the way he handled himself.
Mike, what did you think about D.J. Johnson getting in the lineup and how he did at cornerback?
Well, it's always nice to see a person get his opportunity. He's been in the league for a while and not had a lot of playing time, but I thought he handled himself very well.